1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 1-888-318-7884. And now, from San Diego, here's the host of Catholic Answers Live, Jerry Usher.
And it's good to be with you once again. I'm Al Cresta, sitting in for Jerry a few days this week. I want to remind you that tomorrow, James Aiken and Johnny Hocraft will be back with Open Line Friday. But today, I'm sitting in for Jerry. And in honor of Pope John Paul II's birthday coming up tomorrow, we've asked George Weigel to join us. George is the author of Witness to Hope, the biography of Pope John Paul II. It really is the definitive work. And George is a senior fellow of the Ethics and Public Policy Center. He's also a Roman Catholic theologian, one of America's leading commentators on religion and public life. He's been writing about the Pope since the first days of John Paul's pontificate and is the author-editor of 14 books. Again, the one that we're most interested in today is Witness to Hope, the biography of Pope John Paul II. And George, it's good to talk to you once again.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Well,
it might be useful to mention right up front that Witness to Hope has just been published in paperback with a new chapter, actually an afterword, on the Jubilee year.
Very good.
So those who already have the hardback now have a reason to go out and get a paperback as well.
Very good. And any comment on the documentary that will be made?
Seems to have been very positively received in some of the private showings we've had. We're still shopping for a TV network to pick this up, and hopefully there'll be some news on that in the next couple of months.
When you first decided that you wanted to do a biography on Pope John Paul II, was it difficult to get access to him, or did the mountain come to Mohammed here?
No, I proposed this idea to the Pope's press spokesman, Joaquin Navarro, in May 1995. In December 1995, the Holy Father indicated that he would cooperate with this. In March 96, he and I discussed the ground rules in what was, to my mind, a very satisfactory way. So I began working on this full-time in June 1996, and it was a very intense but smooth process.
How did you go about working on it? In other words, were you given special access to the Pope or to archives? Or I mean, how did you begin a project like this?
I spent 20 hours in conversation with the Holy Father. As the acknowledgments at the back of the book make clear, I talked to hundreds of people throughout the Catholic world, and I was able to bring some documentation to the public that had previously not been available. Why did this work? I suppose because I knew a lot of the cast of characters before I started the biography.
Mm-hmm.
And we had
mm-hmm.
good working relationships, and you know, I think relationships of trust. So that was certainly useful.
It's a massive work, and must have just been a tyrannical mistress for you for a few years.
I wouldn't say that I experienced it that way. I had a lot of fun doing this. I mean, it was an immense amount of work, but it was also a work that I had the sense of being well prepared for by other things I had done in the previous 20 years. It was something I very much wanted to do, and it was something about which I had a sense of vocational commitment.
Okay.
So you put all that together, and it makes for a great way to spend 3 years.
Our number here is 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 1-888-31-TRUTH. And you're going to have the opportunity to talk to George Weigel about John Paul II, whose birthday we celebrate tomorrow, isn't it, George?
That's right, May 18th.
He'll be 81?
Correct.
Our number again, 1-888-31-TRUTH. Now, John Paul II's legacy will be what as a theologian? as a philosopher, as a leader, as an evangelist, as a great geopolitical strategist? What will it be?
I think it will be all of the above, with the possible exception of the last.
Okay.
I don't think the Pope understands himself as a geopolitical strategist. I think he understands himself as a pastor who happens to have had a great impact on contemporary world politics by reason of being an effective and compelling and courageous pastor. There is no one thing that I would lift up above a list of perhaps 9 or 10. I think he has renovated the papacy for the 21st century by returning it to its New Testament roots. The office of Peter in the New Testament, as we've been reminded during the daily mass readings during this Easter season, was a pastoral and evangelical office. It was not a managerial office. And that is the kind of papacy that John Paul II has recreated. Certainly his courageous attempts to vindicate and implement the Second Vatican Council in its fullness loom large in his legacy. He played a pivotal role in the collapse of European communism. That is now well recognized today, and I think will be even more recognized in the future. He identified the challenges facing free societies in a post-communist world. In the encyclical Incentesim Missonis and Evangelium Vitae. He has placed ecumenism at the heart of the Catholic Church. He's opened a wholly new level of dialogue with Judaism and other great world religions. His theology of the body is arguably the most compelling Christian response to the sexual revolution ever articulated. The Catechism of the Catholic Church represents his achievement in making the Catholic proposal to the world coherent and compelling on the edge of a new millennium. And then I think you have to measure his achievement in terms of hundreds of millions of individual lives who have been transformed by their encounter with his discipleship. So it's a very, very impressive package, and it's not over yet.
No, it's not over yet, even at 81 years of age. Do you know if he's working on new teaching?
I'm not aware of anything.
No, okay. But, I mean, this is remarkable, and there'll be many who will, after his passing, will want to define his legacy. How do you go about... You've just given us a whole list of things. What will be the test of his greatness in the future? How would you measure it? Now, you've given us a list of initiatives.
It can already be measured in the lives of Catholics all over the world who are living vigorous, evangelically assertive lives of faith because of his example and witness. And that that will, you know, as they form their children and their students and so forth, you know, this heritage is going to continue long into the future.
It's easy for people to try to impose upon the Pope political categories, and so you often hear this phrase that he's a theological conservative, but a social liberal.
Yeah, well, that's all nonsense.
That's why I brought it up.
The Catholic Church isn't liberal conservative. The Catholic Church is about the truth. And it serves no good end to try to parse these questions, questions of doctrine, questions of the moral life, questions of church structure, in categories that simply come from a different realm. It's like asking, why can't Shaquille O'Neal hit an outside curveball? I mean, it's just the wrong question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody asks whether the Dalai Lama is a liberal Buddhist or a conservative Buddhist. Why are we obsessing on these categories? Why does the media, I should say, obsess on these categories in dealing with the Church and the Pope?
Do they obsess on these categories outside the United States?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Even outside the United States?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Would
In part, that's because of the impact of the American media around the world. I mean, if CNN frames a papal story in those terms, that's the way a couple of billion people see it all over the planet. But I think those categories, I mean, the attempt to understand church issues in essentially political categories is a temptation that many other cultures have succumbed to beyond our own.
Our number again is 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 1-888-31-TRUTH. We're going to be taking your calls on the other side of the break, but it's always good to have them lined up ahead of time. As we continue conversation with George Weigel, he's the author of Witness to Hope, the biography of Pope John Paul II. It's the biography I recommend to people regularly, now available in paperback with an afterword, looking at the Jubilee year. Again, the number 1-888-31-TRUTH. The Pope is known for his ecumenical outreach. Some news today that Pope John Paul II, during his visit to Greece, made a request for pardon for Catholic offenses against the Eastern Orthodox, and that this has given major impetus to the cause of ecumenism. Do you know anything about it, George? It's just news that I received today. So,
well, no, it was publicly stated by the Pope a week ago in Athens. So it's very much in line with his Jubilee year intention that the Church should cleanse its conscience on the edge of a new millennium in order to enter that new millennium with a full evangelical head of steam behind it. I think given the psychological condition of a lot of the Orthodox world, this was extremely effective being done on site in Athens, not simply in Rome, but in the heart of Greek Orthodoxy. And I think, yes, I mean, certainly in human terms, this has created a new platform for the ecumenical dialogue to go forward.
Has this been one of his greatest disappointments, that at age 81 he's not seen the reunion of East and West?
I think so, but he doesn't, he's not a whiner. He doesn't, or a hand-wringer. He gets on with getting on. And I think you saw the effect of that in Athens. I mean, for a month before that visit,
yes,
there's endless speculations about what a catastrophe this was going to be. And yet he believed that this is what he ought to do. And his very presence there changed the circumstance in human terms and psychological terms in a way that, as I say, made a new beginning possible.
Our number once again is 1-888-31-TRUTH. And we're going to take your calls in just a minute. And I promise, Nancy from Philadelphia, you've been waiting. You'll be first when we come back. My guest is George Weigel. He is the author, this has been a definitive work on the life of Pope John Paul II. It's called Witness to Hope. It is the biography of Pope John Paul II. And what we're going to be doing is answering your questions. So, again, the number is 1-888-31-TRUTH. Now, we'll take your calls on the other side of the break, but first, I want you to learn about a special Catholic Answers radio offer.
Hi, friends. Jerry Usher here. You know, it's a blessing to